to the Divided Kingdom Evening News Program. This is Lou Caramelli.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caramelli.
We are continuing our crucial warning alerts during this week that ends January and begins February of 2024. Once again, our website listing for January 31st and February 1st says the following. Red flag, alert for potential plandemics. Warnings of Marjorie Taylor Greene and others on the dire need to stop the WHO global treaty. Updates on One Health, global takeover. SDG 16, digital identity threat of world enslavement. Now, we have to begin with some breaking news. And I have a little breaking news I don't think even Elizabeth is aware of. We used to like to go up to the Pennsylvania Dutch country. There's a famous restaurant there called the Bird in Hand Restaurant. Well, they had a fire a day or two ago.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, that just came to my attention. And it's the second fire they've had in, I guess, as many weeks. Sound a little suspicious?
Yes.
Well, last night we reported the Bryan, Texas Chicken Farm, Feathercrest Farms explosion and fire. Here are more details on it. And then a new report on a January 30th massive Oklahoma gas pipeline explosion. Here from the People's Voice by Neam Harris. Massive fire engulfs chicken farm in Texas. This is dated January 31st. A massive blaze erupted at Feathercrest Farms in Bryan, Texas on Monday. The fire prompted a massive response from multiple fire departments. The cause of the blaze had not been confirmed, local authorities said during a news conference on Monday evening. Officials have not said if any animals were hurt or killed. Early reports indicate that the fire has consumed a building and several tanks on the premises of Feathercrest Farms. Eyewitnesses have reported hearing a loud explosion prior to the outbreak of the fire, suggesting a possible cause, although this has yet to be confirmed by officials. And a further report from Fox News, this headline, Texas Chicken Farm engulfed for hours in massive blaze. Authorities said that over 100 firefighters were working to extinguish the blaze on Tuesday. This is by Sarah Rumpf Witten of Fox News, published January 30th, 2024. A massive fire engulfed a Texas chicken farm, demolishing the chicken coop, with firefighters still working to extinguish the blaze on Tuesday. The Bryan Fire Department shared images of the fire, which showed huge flames and a giant plume of smoke at Feathercrest Chicken Farm, which is owned by MPS Egg Farms. The sheriff's office said it received a call about the fire on Monday evening about 5 p.m., adding that multiple fire departments remained at the scene Tuesday. According to authorities, on Tuesday afternoon, over 100 firefighters were still working to put out the blaze. Officials said multiple factors worked against the firefighters, who worked throughout the night to put out the massive blaze that had erupted throughout the metal buildings. Authorities are still investigating the cause of the fire. The farm, which is located over 100 miles north of Houston, is in a remote area without any nearby fire hydrants, forcing responding departments to rely on a water shuttle system. So, this is Lou speaking. So, the Feathercrest Farm explosion and fire happened Monday, January 29th. Note again, the number of Judgment Day, 11. Judgment on an unrepentant America as food and food production facilities are gradually being decimated. Then, on the very next day, Tuesday, January 30th, we had a huge Oklahoma gas pipeline explosion. From the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, massive gas pipeline explosion in Oklahoma Panhandle. Pipeline erupts into 500-foot flames. And if you go to their website, you can see several photographs and a video. It says a catastrophic gas pipeline explosion rocked the Oklahoma Panhandle late last night, sending towering flames over 500 feet into the night sky. The incident occurred before 9:45 p.m. in southern Beaver County, Oklahoma, near the border between Oklahoma and Texas, ABC 7 News reported. Authorities have identified the pipeline operator as DCP Midstream, a Fortune 500 company and a major player in the midstream petroleum industry. The Post read, quote, Boca Fire Department is responding with other agencies to a pipeline explosion north of Derizet, unquote. Officials from the Boca Fire Department, one of the multiple agencies responding to the emergency, reported that the flames were shooting up about 500 feet. And here's a quote, our crews are responding to a pipeline blowout south of Midway Church off 412. The glow can be seen for miles, Elwood Fire Department wrote. According to ABC 7, the fire was large enough that it could be seen from satellites. Efforts to extinguish the flames or the blaze have been hampered by the need to wait until the gas supply feeding the fire can be safely shut off. The strategy currently involves allowing the fire to burn off the gas in the pipeline to prevent further explosions when the pipeline is eventually sealed. The cause of the explosion is not immediately clear, and an investigation is set to follow. And this is Lou. Will we ever get to the real truth about either of these incidents? Well, we're going to give you some other hard-hitting truth here tonight. First up is serious pandemic news. How weird is this? Media now blaming COVID jab-related heart attacks and strokes on climate change.
Weird. How weird.
Sure
pretty weird.
Is. This is by Ethan Huff, Natural News. The latest excuse for the establishment for rising rates of heart attack and stroke is, quote, extreme heat waves spawned by climate change, unquote. A new study, we are told, links a surge in cardiovascular deaths to really warm temperatures, which apparently hurt people who are black and old at disproportionately higher rates than other demographics. Instead of addressing the elephant in the room, Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19 so-called vaccines, the paper instead talks a whole lot about the weather and greenhouse gas emissions as being responsible for about 5,500 excess cardiovascular deaths every year. Even if the United States adopts many of the extreme global warming impositions being pushed by the globalists right now, it will only trim about 1,200 excess deaths off that figure, still leaving 4,300 excess deaths per year due to weather-related heart problems, the study insists. And then we have, and this comes from globalresearch.ca. 11 children ages 9 through 19 had a cardiac arrest at U.S. schools in the past month. Some schools are now starting to conduct sudden cardiac arrest screening. Is there a time bomb in your child's chest? Davies, Florida. 14-year-old Knox McEwen is a Western High School Air Force Junior ROTC, that is Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps, student. On November 4th, he was running at an Army Junior ROTC exercise when he suffered a cardiac arrest during a 5K run and died in the hospital. And I think we go to you, Elizabeth.
It's just so shocking, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. This one is The People's Voice, January 10th, 2024. mRNA vaccine creator has developed full-blown facial paralysis. Media blackout. The co-creator of the first Pfizer mRNA COVID vaccine has developed full-blown facial paralysis, a side effect of the vaccines, according to reports. Özlem Türeci, a Turkish-German physician, helped develop the first messenger RNA-based vaccine to treat COVID for biotechnology company BioNTech in 2020. However, despite being widely praised by the mainstream media for her invention, the media has remained silent on her recent debilitating condition. Robert Kogan has drawn attention to the news that Türeci is suffering from facial paralysis or Bell's palsy. Modernity News reports, according to the journalist, the fact that she is afflicted with the condition is, quote, more or less obvious in all videos and still images of Tourette. The FDA's December 2020 briefing document on the COVID jab acknowledges that it has caused cases of Bell's palsy. The most notorious case of post-vax facial paralysis befell singer Justin Bieber, who announced that he was suffering from Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, RHS, in June 2022. Canadian actress Jennifer Gibson also developed Bell's palsy 2 weeks after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine. As Kogan points out, Tourette actually had the condition before COVID vaccines were developed, but she didn't appear to be suffering from it when she was younger. Could she, however, have somehow developed the disorder in connection with her laboratory work on mRNA drugs, he asks? Well, we do not know, but the below photo of Sahin and Tourette in the 1990s shows that as a young woman, Tourette had no trace of facial paralysis. One thing is sure, if Albert Bourla was suffering from partial facial paralysis, everybody would be talking about it, and social media would be lit up. But Bourla is merely the CEO of a company which markets the drug, writes Kogan. And I think now we have to move on to think about anonymous pandemic tyranny. And this is kind of a precedent. So we're not all done with that Australian gulag glue was taking people who didn't even seem to be tested for COVID away on buses to put them into these quarantine centers. So we have LifeSite News. And this was New York wins appeal to allow its health department to put people in quarantine facilities. And this was by Claire Chretien. This was Friday, November 24, 2023. The New York State Supreme Court Appellate Division's 4th Judicial Department has reversed a lower court's ruling against a regulation called Rule 2.13, allowing the government to involuntarily and indefinitely detain individuals for the purported sake of public health. The language in the regulation makes it crystal clear that the DOH, Department of Health, can pull you from your home and your life, and with the force of police, hold you anywhere they deem appropriate, including, quote, other residential or temporary housing, explained attorney Bobby Ann Cox, who is representing Uniting NYS and state legislators. The regulation says, quote, they don't have to prove you are sick. They can hold you for however long they want, and there is no way for you to get out of lockup or lockdown unless a detained person obtains legal representation and sues. The lower court had ruled in July 2022 that the regulation was unconstitutional and lacking due process, but the state appealed that ruling. The appellate division then ruled unanimously on November 17th that the plaintiffs lacked standing because they hadn't been forcibly quarantined.
The court seems to insinuate that the only person with a right to sue is someone who has been forcibly locked in their home against their will, or ripped from their home, taken from their loved ones, and thrown into a quarantine detention center, facility, institution, camp, etc. The court insinuates that apparently only that person would be injured, explained Cox. And reacted State Senator Mark Walzik. The idea that the state health department will lawfully quarantine a New Yorker against their will sounds silly yet. The judiciary has a role to play in checking the executive, and I'm deeply disappointed the appellate division missed the opportunity to draw the line in tyranny. Governor Hochul is falling right behind Cuomo in a lust for power of the state over individual rights. We'll continue to fight until we win back a future for New Yorkers and includes freedom, unquote. The language in the regulation gives the state health department, under the purview of the governor, incredibly broad powers, Cox previously wrote. For anyone unfamiliar with this regulation, it allows the Department of Health to pick and choose which New Yorkers they could lock up or lock down with no proof that you were ever even exposed to, let alone actually sick with, a communicable disease. They could have locked you down in your home, or they could have removed you from your home and forced you to quarantine in a facility of their choosing. There was no time restriction, so you could have been quarantined for however long they required. Days, weeks, months. There was no age restriction, so they could have done this to you, to your child, to your grandchild, etc. In the true fashion of a totalitarian regime, they could have told you what you could and could not do while in quarantine. They literally could have controlled your every move. The regulation allowed them to use law enforcement to enforce their orders of isolation or quarantine, which means you could have received a knock at the door from your local police or sheriff telling you that you had to go with them by order of the health department.
Furthermore, the regulation had no procedure by which you could be released from quarantine, no way for you to try to negotiate your way out, and it was not COVID-19 specific. There was a laundry list of, quote, communicable diseases that could have triggered this nightmare loss of freedom. Diseases such as Lyme, toxic shock syndrome, COVID-19, and so many others. In a July 2022 ruling against the regulation, Judge Ronald D. Plotz wrote, quote, involuntary detention is a severe deprivation of individual liberty, far more egregious than other health safety measures, such as requiring mask wearing at certain venues. Involuntary quarantine may have far-reaching consequences, such as loss of income or employment and isolation from family. Plotz continued, quote, while Rule 2.13 provides that isolation and quarantine must be done consistent with due process of law, and the detainee has the right to seek a judicial review and the right to counsel, these protections are after the fact and would force the detainee to exercise these rights at a time when he or she is already detained, possibly isolated from home and family, and in a situation where it might be difficult to obtain legal counsel in a timely manner. Rule 2.13 merely gives lip service to constitutional due process. Cox plans to take the case to the Court of Appeals.
And here's quite a headline. Another surprising expose, January 26, 2024, by Ethan Huff, Natural News. RSV introduced in population by polio vaccines. Now Pfizer's RSV vaccines risk harming and killing people. The dreaded new, and new is in quotes, the dreaded new disease known as RSV, short for respiratory syncytial virus, is the target of Pfizer's new RSV vaccine called Abrezio, or Abrezvo, excuse me. But are Americans aware of the true history of RSV and how it is actually caused by Big Pharma's polio vaccines of old? It is true. The polio vaccines our parents and grandparents received contained a monkey virus called the coryza virus that, once it was injected into tens of millions of bodies, the medical establishment quietly renamed as RSV to hide its true origins as a vaccine-induced illness. Most of America has no clue that RSV is basically a vaccine side effect, even as millions are herded into taking Abrezvo for their own protection. And the word protection, of course, is in quotes. On August 21st, 2023, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, quietly approved Abrezvo. Pregnant mothers are being told to take it, despite the fact that it greatly increases the risk of preterm birth and all of the short- and long-term health complications for the baby that often ensue. Had polio vaccines never been widely administered, followed by a slew of other vaccines over the years that contain hidden viruses of their own, such as the simian virus 40, SV40, there probably would not even be an RSV crisis, assuming one is real in the first place. Even so, Pfizer was given the green light to peddle yet another death drug on the masses, which the company proudly announced is the only RSV injection currently in the market for elderly people and pregnant mothers. Pfizer boasted back in September, quote, Pfizer currently is the only company with an RSV vaccine to help older adults as well as infants through maternal immunization, unquote. And in a related article, you can check this one out, back in 2022, experts Lynn Redwood, RN, MSN, Dr. Marilyn Nash, and Dr. Ryan Cole issued a warning to presidential contender Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that RSV vaccines must be stopped because they are dangerous. Here we have the subheadline, EU approves a Abrysvo for adults 60 and older and pregnant mothers. Just 2 days after the FDA green-lighted Abrysvo, here in the States, the European Union, the EU, granted block-wide market authorization for the drug to similarly be administered there to adults 60 and over, as well as to pregnant mothers.
Lou, yes. I have to interrupt.
Yeah.
That this shows us that the gigantic police state, the medical pharma police state, is global. Because the authority, you see, was quickly given to another nation state. This wasn't a national decision.
Yes, and we might add, too, this is the European Union. It's a whole bunch of nation states joined together.
That's right. And
France,
of course,
Spain,
they're,
Germany, and so on.
And, of course, they're bringing the One World Order, too. They're doing their part. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. About a month after that, this was after, let me see now, about a month after that, the United Kingdom's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, MHRA, gave the green light to Abrysvo for basically these same demographics as well. Since that time, Abrysvo has been unleashed in Canada, while a similar drug called Arexvy, an RSV injection produced by UK-based drug giant GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, was unleashed in Australia. Medical Express reported, quote, the GSK and Pfizer RSV vaccines are similar. They both contain a small component of the virus called the pre-fusion protein. Abrysvo, the Pfizer RSV vaccine, has been trialed in pregnant women. It has been approved in pregnant women in the United States, but it's not yet approved in Australia, unquote. Del Bigtree of the High Wire examined the package insert for Abrysvo, noting that it increases the risk of preterm birth, not to mention it contains toxic, quote-unquote, buffer ingredients, such as polysorbate 80, and residual DNA from host cell proteins collected from Chinese hamster cell lines. And here we have a quote from Del Bigtree. RSV came from a monkey virus that in the manufacturing of the poliovirus we introduced to the world, Bigtree said, following the discovery. And then we have new cancer diagnoses projected to be highest ever, with people under 50 leading the surge, yet zero mention of jabs as the cause. This was from the LibertyDaily.com, January 18th, 2024. If you love the news, check out the Liberty Daily's homepage. Well, that's a little ad they stuck in there. If there's one reason to believe the nation and most of the world is under a mass delusion with far too few people aware of what's really happening, it's in the blatant denial surrounding COVID jabs and surging adverse reactions. It's not that they're ignoring the reactions themselves. It's that they're failing, willfully or not, to connect the vaccines to these side effects. The article below from Axios exemplifies this perfectly. New cancer diagnoses are surging, with projections showing the highest instances in history. Most troubling is that despite the aging population, it's people under 50 years old who are most affected. Those who have read recent studies about turbo cancer, or who have heard reports of adverse reactions mysteriously surging since 2021, likely realize that this is all part of a huge cover-up. There are clearly many doctors who are dense, but it can't be all of them. yet so few ever speak up to state the obvious. As for corporate media, they're perpetrating the lies. Here's that Axios article. Notice how it's positioned in a way that's supposed to normalize the notion of diseases getting worse, yet nobody has a clue why. And we just have a small portion of that article. New cancer diagnoses in the United States are expected to top 2 million for the first time in 2024, driven in large part by an alarming increase in cancers among younger Americans, according to new American Cancer Society data. Why it matters. There have been major improvements in cancer survival, but there is a worrying rise in some cancers at the same time doctors are trying to figure out why they're seeing more young patients with cancer. What they're saying, this demographic shift comes with psychological, physical, and financial burdens that are less common with older patients, experts say. And they give one example. Patients under 50 are more likely to be uninsured, juggling career and caregiving responsibilities, and face a higher lifetime risk of treatment-related side effects, like second cancers.
And you know, this news just keeps showing us that the depopulation plan has not stopped. You know, I'm looking at the obituaries all the time here, and we report in to all of you. You know, the news that we're bringing you is not from Fox. It is not from CNN. And we're trying to bring you news that will possibly help protect your lives, help warn you spiritually, physically. And we also know that we need you to help our program grow. Tell others to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. It's very, very important to go to our listening archives there at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And you know, this program is carried by WWCR, and there are two evenings on shortwave, Wednesdays at 7 p.m., 5-9-35, and on Thursday, 4-8-40, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating on Saturday, 7-4-9-0, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. We're also on the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're on KSARTalkRadio.com, KingdomRadio.com. So, you know, there's no excuse saying you can't find our program.
I think that's KingdomStarRadio.com.
KingdomStar. Did I not have the star? KingdomStarRadio.com.
Right.
Thank you, Lou. And, of course, those networks, the K-Star Talk Radio Network and the one you mentioned, are headed by Angeline Marie. And some of you have told us how very interesting you found her hard-hitting interview on her new book, Soulless Society. So, at any rate, we are trying to help you, and we do need some help. So far in our mailbox this week, there has been zero. But we know some of you will turn to the Lord and say, I think it's time to help support the Divided Kingdom watch persons again. And if so, you can mail anything that you can give to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Checks can be made out to WWCR or Global Star Communications, and we can accept some money orders and some cash. So now, in this kind of depopulation plan, you know, the black people are excessively targeted, and we have these big behemoths, in the medical establishment, the WHO, we have the CDC, we've talked about that a lot, and of course there's the FDA, okay? And now what they're saying, according to the People's Voice, January 27th, this was Baxter Dimitri, FDA says school children must be indoctrinated with pro-vax messaging to ensure compliance. Vaccination rates in the U.S. are close to a, quote, tipping point, according to the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, which warns that soon they will not be there will not be enough vaccinated people to, quote, protect the unvaccinated. And according to the FDA, primary school-age children must be indoctrinated with pro-vax vaccine messaging to ensure compliance in the future. And then that brings us to another thing that we've talked about once in a while on air, and that is the zombie deer disease, this chronic wasting disease that's akin to the mad cow. And we do think that it was possibly planted there, the way Lyme disease came out of a lab. And we've talked about in western Pennsylvania, it sort of originated there so that the hunters can't get their food. So here we have, I believe, that this is from the Daily Mail. And this was in December 27th. Mapped the 32 states where zombie deer disease has been reported so far and why humans should be prepared for a slow-moving disaster. The fatal brain virus, which leaves animals confused, drooling, and unafraid of humans, may someday infect people, as cautioned by some authorities. Now the United States Geological Survey has detected the virus in 32 states and 4 Canadian provinces. Much of the reported cases are in the upper Midwest as well as the mid-Atlantic states. And Stephen M. Lepore was the reporter here for DailyMail.com. At least 32 states in America and parts of Canada have seen reports of a virus dubbed zombie deer disease that could potentially spread to humans in what one expert calls a slow-moving disaster. The fatal brain virus, which leaves animals confused, drooling, and they said that before. They have those repetitions that Lou and I usually get out of here before we come on the air. We missed that one. And now the alarm was raised after a deer carcass tested positive for chronic wasting disease, CWD, in Yellowstone National Park in northwest Wyoming in November. And I think now, do we go to you, Lou?
Yes, we do. Yeah, now we're going to talk about the dangers of the WHO pandemic treaty. We'll begin with a little description from InfoWars on January 9th. Exclusive. The latest draft of the WHO pandemic treaty will establish a planetary dictatorship controlling every facet of our lives. Alex Jones breaks down how the latest draft of the WHO pandemic treaty will be used to establish a global dictatorship with powers to punish citizens by circumventing sovereign governments around the world. And this is Lou speaking. This danger will be absolutely crucial for all of us to monitor.
And this danger means we will have to do that, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes, we will have to monitor it. And this will be the first time again this year that we will bring up some of these things, like the amendments to the WHO pandemic treaty, and about calling your congressman. And as the months move on, it will become more and more imperative that each of us really does something about calling Congress. Go ahead, Lou.
That's all I have for that one.
Okay, and then I have Natural News, January 26th, by Ethan Huff. Representative Green calls out WHO over pandemic treaty, adding that chemtrail needs to stop. The World Health Organization, WHO, is going to have a lot of trouble getting its so-called pandemic treaty for Disease X passed and accepted in the United States, especially if Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, and her allies in Congress have anything to say about it. In a recent tweet, Representative Greene wrote unequivocally that her vote on the pandemic treaty for Disease X will be a hard no. And while we are at it, Representative Green continued, why don't we tell all these other freaks to stop spraying stuff in our skies, stop messing with our food, and stop creating monster bioweapon viruses that will murder everyone? That, quote, spraying stuff in our skies portion, of course, refers to chemtrails, also known as geoengineering, a climate change remediation operation that the globalists in charge of it say will cool the planet and prevent it from warming or even melting. Related. Remember when Representative Green's then Twitter account was permanently suspended? This despite the rampant proliferation of child pornography accounts that operate unpunished? And then Ethan Huff in his article has a little interior headline. Biden regime's proposed IHR amendments would enslave U.S. to the World Health Organization. A member of the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, Representative Green, appeared at a hearing recently entitled Reforming the WHO, Ensuring Global Health Security and Accountability. There, she and other congressmen examined the effectiveness and the legitimacy of the WHO based on its response to the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic.
At the hearing, Representative Green broke down many of the major concerns among Americans about the Biden regime's proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations, IHR, a legally binding agreement that requires all member nations to conduct thorough surveillance of potential international health threats. Representative Green stated, quote, "The International Health Regulations, the IHR, is a treaty of the WHO meant to usher in a new era of global public health that requires all member states to cooperate to make the world more secure." She continued, "In an October 2023 meeting, the working group compiling the amendments for the 77th World Health Assembly in May 2024 was told that they do not have to produce their document before the meeting," unquote. Representative Green further warned about the dangers of some of the amendments to the IHR that the Biden regime is proposing, including ones that would allow the WHO Director General, in this case Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, to declare public health emergencies without any input from Congress. Further, the Biden regime's proposed IHR amendments would allow the WHO Director General to, quote, "act on information in the public domain without verification from member states," unquote, as well as create a compliance, and this is also a quote, "a compliance committee to enforce their rules," unquote. Representative Green added, quote, "I can assure you the American people do not want the WHO enforcing any rules on their own personal decisions regarding their health," unquote. If certain proposed amendments end up being adopted, sovereign states like the United States would be obligated to adhere to the treaty, even if doing so infringes on the Constitution. Representative Green warned, quote, "The Biden administration led the charge for amendments to the IHR, including a new compliance committee. The move toward a global health security state is reliant upon surveillance, which relies on data. Remember China? That's what they did to their citizens and still do. The treaty and the IHR call for more sharing of personal health data in the name of safety and outbreak prevention. That's an invasion of privacy for the American people," unquote. More of the latest news about the pandemic treaty and the globalist quest to take over the entire world and enslave everyone under the heavy boot of a one-world government can be found at globalism.news.
And it's just so important that all of you listening out there, you don't do multitasking. Just sit down and really focus on the next, because we have to understand very clearly what is going on and how we are being threatened. This was written by that wonderful Dr. Joseph Mercola on October 18th, 2023, how the UN uses COVID to usher in a global police state. The globalists must dehumanize us, systematically chip away at the human spirit, render us infertile, and destroy all notions of bodily autonomy and national sovereignty in order to implement any social and economic reset. And there was a note here, listeners, from LifeSite News co-founder Steve Jalcevac. Dear readers, this is an incredible article, the most important yet, on the One World Government, WHO, UN, Agenda, 2030 Globalists. The most significant section is at the end game, and how to stop it. The following paragraph from that section is essential for everyone to follow. A practical way I can think of is to stop the end game from being realized by stopping the CBDC. Rose writes, use cash. And by the way, if some of you have forgotten what the CBDC is, it's the central bank digital currency that would replace our present money system. And Rose writes, use cash. Insist upon it. Do not give business to stores that only use cashless systems. Supply equals demand. So demand the use of cash. We can't echo that too much, can we, Lou?
No, we can't. This is a vital, what's the word? A vital issue that we all need to be
concerned about. Our food, our lives, everything, our freedom. Story at a glance. The United Nations Sustainable Development Goals are not about sustainability. They're tools to facilitate the implementation of a one-world government. The next bullet point, the term the Globalist Alliance uses to describe its network is a, quote, global public-private partnership, or G3P. Now, listen carefully to that term, you see. And we know public-private partnership, a good example of that would be Operation Warp Speed. You know, Trump and the military going right in with Pfizer and Moderna to do these things to all of us. So this G3P is such a public-private partnership, but in a global way. It's composed of most of the world's governments, intergovernmental organizations, global corporations, major philanthropic foundations, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and we've talked about that before, that non-governmental organizations are organizations that are formed under the UN to sort of take away the elected official system that we have in our counties and, you know, in our states. And then the last one is civil society groups. Collectively, they are the stakeholders that are implementing the SDGs. Now, we'll hear this term a lot. SDGs are the Sustainable Development Goals. And moving on to more of these bullet points. While SDG 16 claims to advance, quote, peaceful and inclusive societies, and, quote, justice for all, this goal is really about consolidating authority, exploiting threats to advance regime hegemony. Now, Lou came on in the beginning of this program with these shocking things about the gas pipeline explosion in Oklahoma and about the Texas chicken farm. Now, these threats, are they being put there? You see the Rahm Emanuel ideal, that we don't let a crisis go to waste. Is this all moving us, you see, toward this kind of an iron fist clamping down on us? I'm just saying that, Elizabeth Cupid-Caverly. But back to this bullet point for Mercola, excuse me, and implementing a centrally controlled global system of digital identity, digital ID. Now, the next bullet point talks about that. A digital identity is not merely a form of identification. Your identity is who you are. And a digital identity will keep a permanent record of your choices and behaviors 24/7. Universal adoption of digital identity will enable the G3P, remember that's that whole big group, the public-private partnership, the G3P global governance regime, to establish a behavioral-based system of reward and punishment. Then the next bullet point, the COVID pandemic was used to redefine human rights and to get people used to the idea that the rights of individuals are conditional and can be ignored or suspended, quote, for the greater good. The United Nations Charter establishes a global governance regime that stands against freedom, justice, and peace, and all of the UN's SDGs, remember, the Sustainable Development Goals, need to be understood within this context. And then Mercola says, at this point in time, it's crucial to realize that the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals are part of the plan to implement a one-world government, where the entire world will be run by unelected bureaucrats beholden to technocratic ideals. In a two-part Unlimited Hangout investigative series, part one here and part two here, independent journalists Ian Davis and Whitney Webb expose Sustainable Development Goal number 16. And that 16, they expose it as forcing a centrally controlled global system of digital identity upon humanity. As explained in part one, the term the Globalist Alliance of Technocrats use to describe its network, the term they use is a, quote, global public-private partnership, or G3P. The G3P is toiling tirelessly to create the conditions necessary to justify the imposition of both global governance with teeth and its prerequisite digital ID system. In doing so, the G3P is inverting the nature of our rights. It manufactures and exploits crises in order to claim legitimacy for its offered, quote, solutions. The G3P comprises virtually all of the world's intergovernmental organizations, governments, global corporations, major philanthropic foundations, non-governmental organizations, and civil society groups. Collectively, these form the stakeholders implementing sustainable development, including SDG 16. And now, the following chart, sourced from Ian Davis, illustrates how the G3P operates.
What SDG 16 is really about? The central objective of SDG 16 is to strengthen the UN-led regime. And of all these sub-goals included in this SDG, the establishment of a, quote, a legal identity for all, unquote, SDG 16.9, is the most crucial, as other goals rely on the use of digital identity. As noted by Davis and Webb, universal adoption of SDG 16.9 digital ID will enable the G3P global governance regime to establish a worldwide system of reward and punishment. If we accept the planned model of digital ID, it will ultimately enslave us in the name of sustainable development. SDG 16.9, sustainable development, means we must use digital ID. Otherwise, we will not be protected in the law. Service access will be denied. Our right to transact in the modern economy will be removed. We will be barred from participating as citizens and excluded from so-called democracy. Understanding digital identity. The World Economic Forum, founded by Klaus Schwab, has for years promoted the implementation of digital identity. The problem with calling it digital ID is that people misunderstand it to be something it's not. There's a huge difference between identity and identification. Identification refers to documents that prove you are who you say you are. A digital identity is not merely a form of identification. Your identity is who you actually are. And a digital identity will keep a permanent record of your choices and behaviors 24/7. Your identity encompasses everything that makes you unique, and that's what the globalist cabal is really after. Step out of line, and every social media interaction, every penny spent, and every move you've ever made can be used against you. Indeed, having access to everyone's digital identity is the key to successful manipulation and control of the global population. The graphic below from the WEF illustrates their idea of how your digital identity will interact with the world. Everything you can think of is to be connected to your digital identity, and your behavior, beliefs, and opinions will dictate what you can and cannot do within society. It will unlock doors where someone like you is welcome and lock the ones where you're not. If you think the idea of vaccine passports is insane, wait until your access to critical infrastructure and services is dependent not just on your vaccination status, but also on what books you've bought, what ideas you've shared, and who you've given money or emotional support to. Interoperability will link disparate systems together. As people are coming to understand the threat of a one-world government, resistance against digital ID and the social credit score that comes with it has started to mount. The G3P's answer to that dilemma is the construction of an interoperable system that can link disparate digital ID systems together. As explained by Davis and Webb, this modular platform approach is designed to avoid the political problems that the official issuance of a national ID card would otherwise elicit. Establishing SDG 16.9 Global Digital ID is crucial for 8 of the 17 UN SDGs, or Sustainable Development Goals. It's the linchpin at the center of a global digital panopticon that is being devised under the auspices of the UN's global public-private partnership regime. You have no rights, only permits under the New World Order. You may be wondering where human rights enter into all of this. If your digital ID record records every move you make, which can then be used against you, won't that violate some of your basic rights as a free human being? Well, that depends on how human rights are defined and who defines them. Davis and Webb explain, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was first accepted by all members of the UN on December 10, 1948. The preamble of the Declaration recognizes that the equal and inalienable rights of all human beings are the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. That's a quote. After that, inalienable rights are never again mentioned in the entire Declaration. Human rights are nothing like inalienable rights. Inalienable rights, unlike human rights, are not bestowed upon us by any governing authority. Rather, they are innate to each of us. They are immutable. They are always in equal measure. The only source of inalienable rights is natural law, or God's law. No government, no intergovernmental organization, no human institution or human ruler can ever legitimately claim the right to grant or deny our inalienable rights. Humanity can claim no collective authority to grant or deny the inalienable rights of any individual human being. Beyond the preamble, the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR, concerns itself exclusively with human rights. But asserting as it does that human rights are some sort of expression of inalienable rights is a fabrication, a lie. Human rights, according to the UDHR, are created by certain human beings and are bestowed by those human beings upon other human beings. They are not inalienable rights or anything close to inalienable rights. Article 6 of the UDHR and Article 16 of the UN's 1966 International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights both decree, quote, everyone has the human right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law, unquote. We put human in brackets to alert readers that these documents are not referring to inalienable rights. While the respective Articles 6 and 16 sound appealing, the underlying implications are not. Both articles mean that without legal existence, those rights may not be asserted by a person within the domestic legal order. That again is a quote. Without legal existence, those rights may not be asserted by a person within the domestic legal order. As we shall see, the ability to prove one's identity will become a prerequisite for legal existence. Thus, in a post-SDG 16 world, persons without UN-approved identification will be unable to assert their human rights. Article 29.3 of the UDHR states, these human rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations, unquote. In plain English, we are only allowed to exercise our alleged human rights subject to the diktats of government, intergovernmental organizations, and other UN stakeholders. The bottom line, then, is what the UN calls human rights are government and intergovernmental permits by which our behavior is controlled.
These are very sobering and very important things, and we're under a lot of attacks. Lou, that was diktates.
Yeah.
Yes, we're under some very terrible kinds of things, we think, as we try to even talk to you. We need your prayers. Please pray for us. God will listen. We know that broadcaster Hawk was dying of lung cancer. Perhaps he still is. Perhaps he isn't. He sounds stronger. and we're praying for a miracle. You pray for him too. And please pray that we are not so obstructed as we try to talk with you on the radio. We're not making allegations. We're just telling you that something is pretty funny and it smells pretty bad. And some people are pretty cowardly if they have to resort to some things like we think they are. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're not a coward. You were pretty brave for 3.5 months, never complaining about that catheter. Not one single thing. You were cheerful. So we ask some other people to man up in this world. They don't have to be pulling these tricks on us. But, you know, many, many more of you are waking up. And next week on our program, we're going to talk about February Fools, things that are happening. And we are going to give you the other part that's very important here from this article from Mercola, and a heading that I have next is COVID was an opportunity to reset the playing field. Now, how did that opportunity come? We know it didn't just fall out of the air. It wasn't a hot air balloon. We had all those decades of preparation working in those labs, and then it culminated in Fauci and the Chinese woman, all of these things. The medical military part of the public-private partnerships, the DOD, DARPA, all of these organizations, NIH, Francis Collins, all of these people, they've been working for a long time to bring this depopulation into being. And so, you know, just a little bit here from Mercola's article, our behavior is also controlled through censorship and control of information. In its COVID-19 and human rights document, published in April 2020, the UN presents human rights as policy tools and openly admits that securing compliance with health measures that severely restrict or outright eliminate human rights will depend on building trust. And that includes censoring that might undermine trust in authorities. Yes, people in the world are still being bamboozled, but some of them are waking up. I like to think about that person who was working for a clothing company, and I called to order a blouse, and he was definitely from India. And I, of course, before I hung up, I said, don't take the COVID shot. I told him why. And then he said, thank you for your devotion to the world. That's something I'll never forget. That's something that the New World Order cannot take away from my soul and my being and my existence. What are you going to do for God? Are you going to stand up against this treaty, this pandemic treaty, the amendments? Are you going to get ready when you know how to do it to call your senators? I do hope so. And we know that many of you out there are doing your best for the Lord, and that's the way it should be. Good night.